Hello listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of The Cult Vault. I've been looking forward to bringing you this episode for a while now. Episode 30 is all about the movement Love Has Won. I fully expect some fallout for covering this movement. I expect my platform to be attacked in various ways. But that won't stop me from delivering this content, no matter how the members of Love Has Won decide to react to this episode. This particular episode is one that I have had the most requests for. At least 5 family members of victims have individually approached me and asked me to cover this group, to raise awareness of the harm their loved ones have had inflicted onto them. Since recording this episode, a fantastic resource has become available for those looking for a support network, general information or source material on the movement known as Love Has Won. It is a website called risingabovelovehaswon.com. And you can find it at www.risingabovelhw.com. Their mission statement says, "Our mission is to inspire, educate and support all individuals impacted by Love Has Won. Rising Above Love Has Won is a collective of individuals whose lives have been impacted by the group known as Love Has Won. As a team, we have spent countless hours attempting to connect friends, loved ones and survivors while respectfully bringing awareness to the dangers of undue influence. It is our hope to create a place of support and healing for those affected, and to be a voice for those who have been victimized. If you are currently questioning, please know that our group is here to help. However we can, we encourage you to read on and reach out. You are safe here." So, if anyone is in need of help, support, guidance, a sympathetic ear, or you are simply curious and wish to find out more about the movement after this episode, then please do visit this wonderful website. For this episode, I got the opportunity to interview with Scott. He has taken it upon himself to carry out an extremely extensive investigation into this movement and create an independent report for law enforcement and members of the public to eventually have access to. This document highlights testimonies from victims of physical abuse and financial extortion. Listen closely as Scott unfolds the information he has managed to gather on the movement known as Love Has Won. Okay, so hi Scott, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to hear about this project that you've been working on. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners and give us a little bit of information about this project?
Yeah, so essentially I'm someone who became aware of Love Has Won at the end of June this year. I was immediately fascinated upon reading them, basically because it's a very eccentric looking group, and essentially once you get into it, it's a financially motivated religious cult. So the purpose of this document that I've been working on is essentially to bring into clarity the beliefs of the cult, which as I say are quite out there, as well as to try and piece together a bit of the history of the cult as I've been able to make out of it as just one person trying to sift through over a decade's worth of rhetoric that they've produced, as well as highlight how they're specifically targeting some of the most vulnerable people in society and aim to exploit them financially and physically in some cases as well. So in the hopes that essentially the raised awareness of the group can potentially take authorities' attention or even members of the press' attention into them and just raise awareness on how cults like this do operate and are still taking advantage of people, essentially.
Okay, awesome. So it's an independent project that you've taken up in your own time. Where have you gone to primarily for your sources of information?
So all sources have been taken from either individuals speaking out against them online. Most of them have been anonymously, but largely I've been sifting through the bulk of their YouTube content. They stream twice every day, sometimes up to 7 hours, as well as their web pages, lovehaswon.org. They have a number of different online avenues, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, almost every conceivable social media avenue you could imagine that they will have a page there. They're surprisingly big on things like LinkedIn and other organizational websites. So there's a lot of information out there that the group have produced themselves that is, although quite hard to understand, you can sort of try and collate it at the very least. So that's what I've been trying to do, is try and collate the information to show essentially how they're targeting people with mental illness, specifically people with a history of addiction and abuse and neglect, to essentially come into a group where they'll then be exploited for the financial gain, my apologies, of one person, Amy Carlson.
Right, okay. So this is the most extensive report I think exists about this movement at the moment. So the name of the movement is Love Has Won. Can you break down briefly what their beliefs and practices are of this movement?
I'll try to be as brief as possible, but they hold a really great number of unconventional beliefs. They're very much a New Age group and follow a lot of New Age philosophies. So Amy Carlson, within the lore of the group, is God. And I should clarify that this is not the Christian interpretation of God, but rather something very specific to Love Has Won. In the lore of the group, Mother God is the creator of the entire universe, which is home to millions of races and planets, of which Earth is the last to ascend to what the group call fifth dimension. So we all live in what is known as the third dimension, 3D, often called 3D land by the group. And essentially, every human on Earth takes a soul contract with Mother in the fifth dimension to incarnate onto Earth to help achieve planetary ascension to the fifth dimension. However, we're all programmed into something called ego, which is social programming to prevent us from doing so. It's quite hard to wrap your head around, really. But the group will say that reaffirms the belief that there are evil forces who are not meant to understand it, essentially. Group members have been quoted as saying, "You don't understand the group's philosophies with your head, you understand it with your heart," and things like that. Essentially, so...
It is a lot. I tried to sift through some of the information on the website, and it's a very colourful website. It's very in your face in terms of the amount of information and the way that the website is formatted. So I actually found myself not being able to spend too much time at once looking through the website.
No, it's been a struggle. But essentially, in short, they want to achieve a planetary ascension, which will consist of aliens coming and extracting us via portals into the fifth dimension. And they should also note that clouds are apparently spaceships as well, or at least aliens are described as clouds when on Earth, or something to that effect. But really, it's just a big money-making scheme. So to achieve planetary ascension, Mother has to process what they call the density of 8 billion beings in ego. And to do this is to do with something of waves of energy. I don't understand what this is, but ultimately it depends on Mother's own happiness. So the happier that Mother is, the more she can produce these energies or these waves to help achieve planetary ascension. So they will ask people for financial profits or for money to buy their own products, essentially to make Mother happy, to help her achieve planetary ascension. That's, in short, is the belief of the group, but they have a great deal of beliefs that would range from conspiracy theories. Just to go into a bit more of the lore about Mother, in a previous reincarnation, she herself was Jesus Christ. So that's probably about where the only relation to Christianity ends. She was also Marilyn Monroe. She's been reincarnated something about 500 times, and they believe that is constantly trying to be assassinated by the CIA or some government agency. So it's a group that's very deep in paranoia as well about the welfare of Amy Carlson. And she's also someone who's had great physical deterioration, particularly over the last couple of years, which is just something interesting to note in terms of the power dynamic of the group.
Right, okay. So a comment that I saw on a Reddit post said that this is it's the most complex New Age movement that they've seen, where they've thrown every theme that has existed over the last 50 years at a wall, and they're just trying to see what sticks. So there's aliens, there's doomsday, there's ascension, there's all these different things going on. Mm-hmm. So as somebody on Reddit said that it almost seemed like they were trying to take small bits from every major cult and encapsulate that into what we know as Love Has Won. So Amy Carlson is Mother God. Are there any other names that she might go by?
She's went by several names. She's gone by Gaia, Sophia Gaia, Spider Woman, White Buff, Low Calf, Mother Creator, Prime Creator Source. It's really an endless list of names and aliases that she has went by. I imagine that this is largely because the group has maybe recreated themselves several times, maybe if they got a bit too much exposure previously. It's also another factor that I think is probably more likely is Amy Carlson's own grooming process into the cult, which is now called Love Has Won. So one of our members, Ashley, talked on a live stream about her own stage of remembrance to believe that she was Mother God, where she was first Sophia Gaia, then she was Gaia, then she was this, then she was that. And essentially she was on, they say it was a journey of remembrance to remember that she was Mother God and she was contracted to achieve or ascend humanity. But essentially in Amy Carlson's real life, what had happened was she had become infatuated with a cult known as the Intergalactic Free Press, which was run by a gentleman who went by the name of Father God. When this cult started, I'm not too sure, but around 2010, Amy Carlson had been groomed to believe that she was Mother God and was partner to this original Father God or Father, right. Father One. And then this fractured into Love Has Won after what was about apparently a month or so of the original Father God locking Amy into a closet. She was subject to a lot of abuse at the hands supposedly of Father One, as well as a number of partners even prior to her joining Love Has Won. And this is not something that the cult are shy about sharing. They speak at great length about her history of abuse and her struggles in her life, as they say that traumatic experiences within life are essentially a crucial part of everyone's soul contract to waking up to reality. And of course their reality is that Mother is God and that we're all here to help achieve planetary ascension. So that they speak a great deal about Amy's own trauma, of which it seems there has been a great deal of throughout her own life.
Okay, and have you managed to speak to anybody that can corroborate anything about Amy's history or upbringing prior to Love Has Won?
I have spoken to individuals online. I wouldn't be able to say their names or how I would know them. I wouldn't want to sort of subjugate them to them. Again, I guess you could bring into to question the legitimacy of my own sources, but I would also argue that I don't think, from my discussions with them as well as from what I've read or listened to, sorry, on the cult's own productions, it seems very much in line with the history there. And the history was that essentially she was groomed by a cult. Similar to the same way that Love Has Won have groomed many other people into cults, or into the same cult, sorry.
Right, okay. And how many members roughly reside within this movement?
It's hard to say for sure how many. I would say including Mother God, Amy Carlson, Jason Castillo, the current Father God, and the First Contact ground crew, who are the main highest ranking members that reside in Mission. There's probably about 20 people that reside in Mission, potentially more. You don't see all of them on the live stream, but they also claim that they have three hubs of operation, one of which is definitely in Florida. So it's really hard to say how many people are actually committed physically to the cult, but I would say online their engagement numbers are probably somewhere within the number of like 100 or 200 people concurrently. They've got about 5,000 people on each of their YouTube and Facebook profiles, but they only get about 100 or so concurrent regular viewers or engagers, right, on their activities. So I would say about 100 to 200 people is a good number, but it's really hard to say.
So they're functioning locally as a commune almost, and they're also reaching out to people around the world on the online platform.
Yeah, that would be correct, as far as I understand it.
And how do they go about recruiting more people into the fold?
So mainly through their live streams. Mainly through their live streams, they hope that people will stumble across them, which several people do, just through to, basically because of the things they talk about, the new age sort of conspiracies, horoscopes, things like that. It'll pop up in the sort of echo chamber that we live in. Their online blog posts as well are another one that they do a lot of across several different platforms. But it would seem that members, they also do door-to-door stuff. So one member, I believe it was Dylan of the First Contact ground crew team, wrote in his own biography that someone came to his own door to talk to him about about Love Has Won. So they even operate door-to-door in some places. Florida particularly is a main hub of activity for the group. They claim that to be significant within their lore.
Right, okay. And is that where the main community is based?
The main community is not based in Florida. The main community that they stream from and the First Contact ground crew team resides in is in Colorado, which is Clearwater, Colorado specifically, and is a very tiny town. One person I engaged with online said it has literally two police officers for the entire area. So just to give you an idea of the sort of size of it, it's very remote location up in the mountains.
It's my understanding that that particular area of Colorado, though, is quite notorious for having several different sects and movements working within it. Have you come across anything?
It was something again that I had to limit my time on. It would have just been too time intensive to look through all of them. But the thing that really struck me when looking through, there was a number that operate with the name Gaia, or some variant thereof of the term Gaia. Gaia being in Greek mythology a sort of personification of the planet Earth and creator of the planet Earth and sort of the inspiration of Amy's character, if you would. But there's a number of Gaia that operate as non-profits, and I think ultimately the reason that they congregate there is basically there must be some sort of relaxation around non-profit clarification for religious-related charities in Colorado. I think is the only thing I've could think of.
And is that the financial position of Love Has Won, or are they classed as an official charity?
They are classed as a religious-related non-profit charity with the IRS and within the state of Colorado.
Right, okay. So we've talked about how they recruit online. Do they primarily fundraise this way as well?
Yeah, so they primarily, it would seem, rely on goodwill donations to make the bulk of their money. They also offer a number of services that are related to what they call etheric surgeries or 5D surgeries, where essentially they sometimes offer them for free, I'll point out. They'll essentially conduct a phone call or a Skype interview with an individual, and they'll basically assess them for their susceptibility to join Love Has Won, or they call it an etheric surgery. And so individuals can pay for these. That's another way that they make significant money. They also produce a number of goods and consumables under the website Gaia's Whole Essential Healings. So that those seem appear to be the same way that they earn money. Within some of their tax filings in Colorado, I did also say that they do activities within their local community as well. So whether they sometimes receive payment for this, I'm not sure. But it seems mostly goodwill donations is how they survive.
Right, okay. And those people that live actually with Mother God, do you know if they pay to stay there, or are they expected to work, or is labour involved?
They're definitely expected to work. I've assumed that there is also some expectation of payment as well. There has been accounts of Jason Castillo, the current Father God, was reportedly wanted for burglary in Florida in excess of $16,000 before he went to join, which sort of gives you an indication of the sort of lengths that people are potentially willing to go to pay in. And there's definitely a responsibility among the devoted members to ensure that Mother is happy. So if that means that they are paying in or that they are working to sustain one of their sites, they will essentially do what they are instructed to do, is my understanding of it, if they can. They often say, if you can't drive, then you better start walking to get to the mission, is something that I've heard saying. So they're very much looking to get physical gain. I imagine once members do go and commit themselves physically to the group at one of their hubs, they're mostly cleaning, sustaining the sites themselves. Some members of the First Contact ground crew team can also be seen actually appearing to build parts of mission in their Facebook pictures and things like that. In addition to that, I also imagine that they're responsible for producing their consumables that are sold through Whole Healing Essentials, as well as producing the bulk of their online content. So essentially, it's a snowball effect. They get more people in so
Right.
that they can increase their own influence and create more and produce more and bring more people in as a result of that.
And this First Contact ground crew that we've spoken about briefly, are they the people that do the daily streams, or are these actually done by Mother God herself?
So Mother God did used to do streams. She's within the past year, she's stepped back a lot from those, and it's typically the First Contact ground crew team. Jason Castillo did have a big responsibility within those, usually opening and closing the nightly live streams. But him and Mother have recently went on an extended stay to Hawaii, so he is no longer in the picture on the live streams at the moment. So yeah, they're really the backbone of the group that produce the most of the online content, and I imagine sustain the site in terms of making sure they have provisions and the site is clean and things like that. But
And
yeah.
you've said a number of times the current Father God. So does that mean that there has been more than one? Are they, is this the person that's in a sexual or physical relationship with Mother God?
So it would seem that they're definitely partners. They've been partners from at least April 2018, where there's a stream where she can be seen to announcing Father God to the group and talks about his importance. But there's also been a number of previous Father Gods, the first one being the leader of the Intergalactic Free Press, which fractured into Love Has Won. With from that point, it would seem that Amy has brought in at least two or three different individuals claiming to be Father God. They seem to have came and went. But it should be noted that Jason has been here for an extended period. I've not been able to look too much into the previous Father Gods just because of time and the sheer depth that of content that the group has available. But there have been a number of them now.
And roughly how long do you think this movement has been going for?
Love Has Won, as we know it, has been going for 10 years, give or take. I think in the late 2010s, or no, sorry, the early 2010s, late 2000s was when it fractured into Love Has Won. But the original Intergalactic Free Press, I really have no idea that Amy herself first discovered about the Galactics on the internet in the late 90s. So whether this was content produced by the Intergalactic Free Press or whether it was just general New Age philosophies, conspiracies, I don't know. But that could be some indication of how long the original Intergalactic Free Press cult was in operation.
And how many members do you know of make up the First Contact ground team?
I believe it's about 20. They did. There have been members that have came and went, and there's also been members that, although still active in the cult, are no longer listed as members of the First Contact ground crew team. They seem to have stayed at mission for an extended period of time and then returned, and even in some cases overseas. There's a big South African contingent of members. So it seems like it's something that fluctuates from time to time. Members come and members go. Some members stay with the cult. It seems that there have been members that have just left, but you don't usually hear many people tend to speak out publicly about it, if any.
And what are the types of personalities or people that make up this ground team?
So within their own web pages, they have biographies. They are quite informative, and there's a number of running trends by their own accounts that you can see. And these are most notably that they've had traumatic histories, whether this be addiction, abuse, mental illness. That's a running factor amongst all of them. They also were aware of unconventional or new unfounded beliefs, shall we say, before joining Love Has Won. And they also claim to became aware of Mother or Love Has Won through visions, dreams, or what they call synchronistic events, and thought little of their old life when leaving behind. One member that I would draw attention to is Miguel Lamboy, also known as Archangel Michael Silver within the group. He appears to be probably the founding member alongside Mother of Love Has Won, who fractured from the Intergalactic Free Press. He claims to have healed himself from stage 4 lung cancer as a result of Mother, and he's also had a drastic weight loss process over the past few years. A video from 2015 compared to a photo of him in 2020, it is a drastic comparison of weight loss. Similar members speak often about abuse, as well as one member claims to be struck by lightning, has left his body in two accidents. Great amounts of physical abuse as well as emotional trauma from a lot of the members is the real running factor, which brings me again to how that they target vulnerable people within society, ultimately through their etheric surgeries, where they will likely get people to tell them these most traumatic aspects of their lives, and is essentially a way that they put themselves in control over people. But they tend to target people that definitely have struggles with mental illness and have fair enough reason to have so, given that their previous traumatic experiences. And that's by members' own accounts. I would encourage, if people are interested, to look through the biographies which would be featured in the report as well as on their website, because they are quite numerous and they're fairly long as well.
Right. And what is the full website title?
That is lovehasone.org.
Okay. So nice and simple. Can you tell us off the top of your head at all any examples of the teachings or texts that they use during these live streams?
Well, it can vary greatly. I've got some here. If you just give me 2 seconds, for example, so this was a text produced by the group talking about their Whole Heal and Essential site when they were still in the fundraising process for it. It was accessed through Web Archive. Our products heal any and all diseases, ailments, energetic imbalances, and more, as everything is in vibration. We have ensured divine vibration is assimilated into each product, which sets us apart from other manufacturers. It's our ancient knowledge of holistic medicine, our experience, awareness, and pure conscious intentions. The products we hand make are created through conscious awareness of our own energetic systems, through meditation, positive intention, and prayer. The key element to all of our creations is love. We continually experience expansion through the connections we create with various people around the planet. We have conducted over 100,000 healing sessions and intend to expand into working schools, physical therapy, child wellness, animal care, and more. We are aware that our healing practices render the pharmaceutical and medical industry obsolete, and we look forward to being the primary holistic medicine provider on the planet. So you can see they put a great deal of emphasis on the importance of their work, and they clearly think that it's the real deal as well, shall we say, to render the complete pharmaceutical industry obsolete. So they were successful with that fundraising campaign, and it should be noted that a lot of the products that appear under baby and child wellness also appear under animal and pet wellness as well. These products are believed to be alkaline water, but I've not had any that I could sample, but it's typically branded with some sort of cosmetic effect or magical power like age reversal or something to that effect. But
Okay, so when you mentioned consumables available on their website, that's the sort of thing that you mean.
yeah, so it can range from they sell crystals, creams, elixirs, potions, that sort of thing is
Okay.
typically what they sell, as well
And
as posters and stuff like that.
what you mentioned before, you said when you read that passage, that's actually archived now, so that's been removed from the website?
Well, yeah, so that was through one of their old websites. I can send the link
Okay.
to that. That can be available. But essentially, that was for their fundraising promotional stuff that they did for that project.
Right, okay. Can you explain to the listeners, you've spoken about it briefly, but if you wanted to go into any more detail about what the fifth dimension is.
So as Nothing, you can't go into too much detail because there's not too much to say on it. It's really a fictionalized existence of the group's own making, a sort of deranged afterlife almost. Essentially, there are beings that exist in the fifth dimension that contract into us. And when we die, we again become one with our fifth dimension higher self, if you would. So it's really not something that I could go into. The cults say that they go into the fifth dimensions via portal or Lumerian portals or something when the ascension process happens, but it's not really something I could speak too much about. They say it's the new earth, the new Eden, you know, it's the
Okay.
promised land of the group, if you would.
And you have to die to ascend?
It wouldn't seem so. So it would seem you can die to ascend, or you can die to become one in the fifth dimension again. I think the group would probably say something to the effect of, oh, the we're not ascended, we're not in the fifth dimension until the last planet Earth has ascended into the fifth dimension as well. So it's hard to say. I think the cult would say it's different, and until Earth ascends, it's not the real promised land. So I think they would get
Okay.
out of that. But I think the rhetoric is definitely dangerous, and it could definitely push people who perhaps, you know, have made previous suicide attempts, or perhaps have, you know, suicidal inclination to do something tragic.
Yeah, it's sounding a lot like Marshall Applewhite and Heaven's Gate. I
It's
think
not
that's
something I'm familiar with, but just to give it a bit more context, so another thing that was I heard on their live stream, they were talking specifically about people passing away within the coronavirus pandemic, or just passing away within waves of energy, I think it might have even been about. And they said that when an individual is still an ego and is severely ill, so i.e. they're not aware of mother and not aware of their teachings, mother will contact the fifth dimension version of themselves, their higher self, and say, are you going to wake up to the teachings? Is your soul contract going to wake up? And they will say either yes, they'll wake up, let them live, or no, they're not going to wake up, pull me out, I need to, so I can re-sole contract again and try and help you, or something to that effect. So there's very much mother has, it's all mother controls it all, essentially. Mother is God. She will decide if someone dies, or she will decide when the time is right for you to die. So if you're someone who's a schizophrenic and potentially has issues with the voices in your head, for example, it wouldn't be hard to imagine how that group could take a serious effect of someone.
So I've just pulled up here, I've just Googled Marshall Applewhite, and the first thing that comes up is the wiki page that says Applewhite believed that after their deaths, an unidentified flying object would take their souls to another level of existence above human, which he described as being both physical and spiritual. And then he died along with the rest of the group in a mass suicide in 1997. So he decided when that was going to happen. He put that event in motion, and he dictated the group's decision to end their lives in a mass suicide to go to, quote, a higher plane. So it does seem to have some similarities, especially when you talk about planets and
Well, can I, if
life
I could
out.
just bring up something that I've just pulled up here, one of the biographies of the First Contact ground crew team, Ryan Creamer, also known as El Moira, said within his biography, when I was 6 years old at my grandmother's funeral, I realized that death didn't exist and that we just go somewhere else, which is the starships. So again, within the lore of the group, they believe that clouds are starships, and that if you go back onto the earliest videos produced onto their YouTube channel, it still has the Intergalactic Free Press, and it's the original Father God basically just listening to Pink Floyd, shooting pictures of pretty clouds and talking about how they're actually starships. So it's basically the rhetoric of the group is so vague that it could leave it open to so many dangerous interpretations for people who are not mentally stable, is the real danger that could lead to someone doing something drastic.
Likewise, maybe people that have experienced trauma as well, or people who are suffering, like you said, it seems to be a particular type of person that is being targeted by the group. I don't know if you have any specific examples that you can give of people you've spoken to and the situation that led them to join in the group.
There's nothing that I could speak on specifically publicly at the minute. I do know that people have been attracted to them specifically during the coronavirus pandemic, as I think you would probably expect. The end of times and the cults will come out for it. It's difficult to say, but essentially the running trend is that people are missing something in their life, and they think that the love has one has given them the answer. They think that love has one has given them the love that they need and that we all need. But in reality, it is just exploitation. I couldn't talk about how personally how they attract people or the specific grooming process, but it would seem to have a great deal of emphasis on their etheric surgeries and assessment. Was it ascension assessments, which essentially seem to be a practice very similar to the personality test in Scientology, which is essentially the interrogator will ask the interviewee a number of highly personal, secretive questions, which will genuinely be affecting the person's welfare. Basically, as a method to see how susceptible the person is to join, as well as to put themselves in a position of power and blackmail if the need ever arises, which is the only reason I can think of why there are so few that speak out against the cult who do leave, because there, like I say, there have been several who come and go over the years, and very few have spoken out.
Can you tell us who Lee Carroll is, and why is he significant to the movement?
Lee Carroll is a New Age author who, in his 13 publications, claims to be channeling the entity of an alien or an otherworldly being called Kryon, or Crayon, I think it's pronounced. Lee's work has influence within the cult because, by their own admission, Amy claims that a book flew off a shelf and landed at her feet, and it was one of his books, and it changed her life. Shortly after this, Kryon himself began communing with Amy etherically. Beginning her stage of remembrance, supposedly, of that she was God and she was Sophia Gaia and Mother God and all this. So the otherworldly being that this author claims to be channeling in his 13 books is essentially also instructing Amy Carlson in her mission to ascend. ascend everyone to the fifth dimension. That's the relevance of Lee within the group. But whether Lee's aware of his relevance within Love Has Won is not something that I know. I'm not too sure how well regarded he is in the New Age sort of community.
Okay. And then another thing that's mentioned within your report is that there is a high council also within the movement.
Yes, yeah, so not within the movement. So the High Council are a collection of beings in the fifth dimension, one of being Kryon, the other one being Master Saint Germain, who appears to be Count Saint Germain, another figure sort of very popular in the New Age field, and the deceased actor Robin Williams. So they believe that they are very important figures in the fifth dimension who commune with Mother regularly in council meetings when she's meditating or in a paralytic state, as they sometimes say. So that what bearing they have on the group, I don't know. They seem to place some significance on the role of planetary ascension, but it's impossible to make sense of, really.
And something I'm curious about, and you might not know the answer to this off the top of your head, is that these live streams are still going on twice a day, regularly, and, you know, a couple of hundred people are tuning in. But if Mother God and Father God are over in Hawaii, or they haven't been present within Mission for a while, do you still think that they are having a level of ownership over what is being said within the streams?
Absolutely. They're usually taking part in the chats, or they'll be sending videos that'll right. be relayed on the live streams. But they're usually Amy Carlson's usually in the Facebook chat, and there's always, you know, I think they're in the YouTube chat as well. But it's an interesting question. I don't know. If one of the members wanted to revolt and say something, whatever they wanted, now would be probably the best time to do it, I would imagine. I don't think that they would ever dare do that, though. I think the people there are really, truly devout and indoctrinated to the group's beliefs. And there's been occasions where there's been reported treason against the group, and it's something that the leadership take very seriously. Right. More recently, there was an occasion where El Moira and Buddha, or Gabriel Gomez, I believe his real name, and Ryan Kramer, they used a streaming software for one of the nightly live streams that they did not consult Amy and Father God about. This resulted in basically a 2-hour live stream where they were humiliated by Jason, and were basically had to repent almost. They just spoke about how they acted selfishly without the consultant, and how wrong they were for doing so. I reached out to the Love Has Won Exposed group about this, because they also said that they went through a period of transforming. So transforming within the group is essentially when you get kicked out of the communal housing spaces in Mission and are forced to camp outside. It seems to be something that's reserved for critical thinking against the group, as well as potentially some form of initiation for new members that come into Mission. So it sort of shows that there is a very real level of punishment if people do act out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for a start, something that's very common within cult behavior control is public shaming. So, you know, whether that's on a live stream where a couple of hundred people are tuning in and watching, that's the equivalent of being in the room with a load of people. And, well, you know,
I say, you know, on live stream, but I should say that the live streams are a communal based thing. So these nightly live streams, you know, it's almost like the whole First Contact ground crew team, and even other members who are not acknowledged as a member of the First Contact ground crew team, but reside in Mission. They come together, they sing songs, they do karaoke. It's a big communal thing that they do. So they would have been getting shamed in their peer group as well.
Without the live stream, it's still happening yet within the peer group. And likewise, you know, being told to stay in the tent, like you mentioned, even just recently, I spoke a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to a lady called Tori, who in her movement, which was like a drug therapy cult that she was born into, one of the forms of punishment for members of this community were that they were to be tied to a bed for a number of hours, where they couldn't get out, they couldn't go to the toilet. You know, the kids were told, if you can hear your mum screaming, don't worry, she's okay. and they would be tied to the bed for an extended period of time until they could get over their anger. And this was used as a form of punishment for stepping out of accord with the leader of the movement. Mm. And I mean, I'm not saying that the tent is excessive as that, but it seems to be sort of in line with the idea behind it.
It's definitely in line, and I think I mentioned earlier when talking about Amy, when she was still a member of the Intergalactic Free Press, she was locked in a closet for a month or more, reportedly. So that sort of shows the history of it within the cult, and I can only imagine that carried over into it. And again, I can only imagine that what we see online is only the tip of the iceberg, if it is a real cult, which I'm full belief that it is. You would have to believe that there is an element of secrecy and there is an element of control that they wouldn't allow to be seen publicly. So I think anything that we do see on their live streams or on their content is only the tip of the iceberg, really.
Yeah. So despite not being present within Mission, Mother God is still having quite a lot of influence over the content that is being shared over the live streams. Another interesting comparison that popped up in my mind when you mentioned Hawaii, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case that's happening at the moment in America.
I'm not.
So they are former Latter-day Saints, and Lori Vallow has the belief that she is chosen to lead and save 144,000 chosen people.
Oh, right.
To lead them to safety during the end times.
Well, this was something I was going to bring up just on a different note. So we spoke briefly about a congregation of different cults in Colorado. This term, the Love Has One call it their army of light, their 144,000 army of light that they also need to help achieve their own version of planetary ascension. And it is a term that I've basically been saying it in my sleep since I've been researching into this, because there are so many groups that need this specific number of people to achieve their end.
Yeah, even yesterday, speaking to a former Jehovah's Witness, he said that, in their teachings, it's 144,000 as well. So it's not even like it's exclusive to Latter-day Saints or Mormonism or not even Christianity by the sounds of it, because as you've mentioned, Love Has One is not primarily focused at all on Christianity. Something interesting about the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case, with their 144,000 that they believe they are on earth to save, they also believe that they've been reincarnated hundreds of times, that they've lived many, many different lives and they've been married in previous lives. But Lori had two children. She's considered light. Chad Daybell's considered light, and her children were considered dark and zombified. So they actually murdered the children. Mm. And recently their bodies were found. Everybody was hoping that they might be in a bunker somewhere or with some cult deprogrammers somewhere, and everyone held out some hope that, she wouldn't have actually harmed her children because she thought that she needed to kill them in order to save their souls, because they had become taken over by negative forces and they had become dark. So the light army that you've spoken about, it seems to be very similar to that as well. And Lori and Chad just flew off to Hawaii. So as soon as you mentioned Hawaii to me, that's all I could think about, because while they were trying to track down the children, they were honeymooning and sunning on the island of Hawaii whilst law enforcement were looking for the children.
That is very strange, because it almost seems that is something. So I'd assumed that they had went to Hawaii as a result of Amy's deteriorating health. I really think that she probably is not long for this world, so to say. She's clearly very ill, and there's been real physical deterioration. But I also then heard that it was her birthday, so it may just be that they went to Hawaii for her birthday too. It's really unclear, but they seem to claim that Hawaii has some significance within the lore of the group, but so does Disneyland. Essentially, they claim this because it's places that make mother happy. So that's why they have a hub in Florida, is essentially so they have easy access to Florida, not Florida, Disneyland, and that's by their own admission. So the main reason they probably went to Hawaii is because Hawaii is very nice and warm and a very easy place to be happy, but the Army of Light thing is something that is very interesting. I'd always assumed it was a light worker, sort of new age, sort of type thing. So to see that it was a former Jehovah's Witnesses and Church of Latter-day Saints is very interesting, to see it make its way over into that as well.
I think it might just be another example of the movement taking many different things
Copycat.
from various different texts and belief systems and implementing it into their own, perhaps. I could be wrong.
Just a last point on that. They had one of their charitable campaigns, which I think that they achieved based off some of their older videos, was a to it was called the Love on Wheels program or something like that. And essentially, it was them fundraising for an art recreational vehicle, and that they said that this would help them in their journey to go out and recruit the Army of Light and recruit the 1,140 or whatever the number was. And then also you also have the door-to-door apostles as well that have reportedly recruited one of the members as well. So I don't think that's something that they've given up on, but they do speak about that a fair amount.
Right, because you mentioned before that COVID is probably encouraging members to join, but what it will stop people from doing is going door to door at the present moment until things kind of return to some level of normalcy. I was hoping that with things like Jehovah's Witnesses that rely so much on pioneering and going door to door, that COVID would actually have a detrimental effect on cults and movements like this, where people would be able to take a break, take a step back, gain some cognitive dissonance and say, hang on a minute, I can think freely for myself when I get a bit of time to think rationally and for myself. But with a movement like this that is growing an online presence constantly, where do you get that distance?
There would have been none within the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. In fact, it was definitely used to ramp up their operations, and it definitely would have been another way for them to keep members sucked in. So with their Whole Healing Essentials, they their own words said that they could claim any disease and any illness. And before they took it down because it was blatantly criminal, they were actually advertising a coronavirus cure on that page. So I don't think it would stop them in door-to-door apostling if they were doing it, because they're probably drank a bunch of colloidal silvers or whatever it is that they think that is protecting them from it. But the group definitely has a bit of a bipolar attitude towards coronavirus, in the content that I've watched. So they're again reported to be saying in one of their morning live streams that, viruses aren't really a real thing. Basically, that the diseases transmute to other people through their vibrational frequencies, and people who need cleansed get a disease and get ill, and if they really need cleansed, they die, sort of thing. So they clearly don't think that they would have any issues in getting it, because clearly they're on the right vibrational wavelength. They're a more ascended person than your average person. However, they also put Mission, their main hub, into a quarantine. So another thing that they fell out of favor for, El Moira and Buddha, they fell out of favor because they also broke the quarantine, supposedly. So whether this quarantine was reportedly put in place because of the powerful energies that Mother was transmuting or processing at that point. But it would also be reasonable to believe if there's someone, a cancer survivor in Miguel Lamboy staying in Mission, and Amy Carlson, who herself, who I think has a serious ill health, is of serious ill health, that they would want to enact a quarantine around their own selves to avoid them from getting ill. So they definitely have a bit of a bipolar relationship with COVID at the minute.
Okay. And when you talk about Florida and Disneyland as something that keeps Mother God happy, and the funds that they collect from donations are also to go towards Mother God and happiness so that ascension can actually be obtained. Are there any other examples of things that make Mother God happy?
Yeah, just before I do, I will say that they will also primarily say that the donations go to sustaining the site and sustaining the team,
right,
and all sort of that. That I imagine if you were to pose that question, that is what they would say, and I imagine that a good amount of it does. But on their new website, loveisone.org, they advertise that mom is processing the density of 8 billion beings in ego. No one can fathom what this looks like. As mom is fully organic, she is doing all of this in every present moment, above and beyond fulfillment of her contract. Mom has been guided by the Galactic Federation to play games on her phone, to take her attention away from the pain, so she may push energies further. Often what mom does in the game happens in real life. You can donate anything from 99 cents towards mom's game fund. So that just sort of shows again how these donations are clearly being targeted to the benefit of one person.
Right, or at least
one avenue of them.
Is there any other things that she might indulge herself in as well? Is alcohol involved? Is there any drug taking?
There's been accusations. There's not been anything that I could solidly claim. There's been people that have claimed that they use teas as uppers and downers within the group. There's some people online, again, all anonymously, have claimed that she's, you know, been on a range of different drugs. But I'm not going to give credence to that, because I think it's more likely that she's very ill, to be honest. There's been allegations that Jason himself was a former addict, and I would believe that there probably could be drug use there, but also a lot of the people they target are former addicts, so there's also a likelihood that hard drugs or drugs that you would usually think would be associated, you know, with a good time or whatever, probably wouldn't be there. I think if it was, it's probably something a bit more control of. I don't know, but it's not something that I think would be relevant. I think the real issues here are the physical exploitation of people.
So when you talk about physical deterioration, if you don't think that's directly related to drugs or alcohol, what do you think might be causing this rapid change in Mother God?
I think just her own mental state, potentially illness as well, potentially some form of terminal illness. They're very into alternative medicine, so I couldn't see her booking an appointment with her local doctor or anything like that.
Okay.
I think they're very organic based diets, things like that. I don't know what they have around them to sustain themselves. I think it's more so likely just her state of mania, for lack of a better term, really, is preventing her from eating or maintaining regular diets. By the members' own accounts, she struggles to keep down food. She's sometimes in states of paralysis for long periods of time. So just the only thing that leads me to believe that she is ill are photos of her from years ago and more recently, as well as members' own claims of what she spends her time doing, which is apparently being in a great amount of pain.
Okay. So just to draw another parallel here quickly, I spoke to a lady a few months back about her experience on Zendik Farm. She mentioned that the matriarch Aril, who actually ran Zendik, she became very ill, and she had to use some of the money that people were going out and generating through selling magazines and other tokens of the movement, CDs and such. She had to go down to Mexico, where she had this treatment, and then went to recover. And she became ill because she was taking on all of the responsibilities and burdens of the movement. So if you were to go and ask why Mother God is ill, do you think it's likely that they would say because she is taking on the full force of 8
million, absolutely. 8 she beings? Will say it's because she's processing the density of 8 billion beings in ego and trying to ascend a planet that they believe doesn't want to be ascended, or that is actively acting against her. Essentially, yeah, that is what they would say. They would say it basically would confirm their belief that she is processing the emotions, almost, I think is what it is, of 8 billion beings into that don't want to be ascended, as they put it. So that reaffirms the beliefs of the groups 100%. But in reality, I just think she's ill. She's unwell.
Okay. That would make the most sense to me, as somebody who's very skeptical of things that are spiritual and otherworldly. But to move on to my next point, can you tell us who the ambassadors are of Love Has Won?
So the ambassadors are something that I've not been able to spend a great amount of time looking into. What I will say about them is ultimately I think that these are also victims of Love Has Won, so I don't want to go into to naming any names specifically. But it would seem that these ambassadors are people who operate outside this the hub's main sphere of influence. So they will be advertised as working in a specific country or state. And essentially what they do, is their job is to attract people to the group, as well as potentially distribute their consumables, which I think that they would buy from the group at a large number of and then sell on at potentially conventions, festivals, that sort of thing, going around the circuit that sellers tend to go around for these communities. But the one that I did look into, again, I'm not going to name any names, but they operate in a capacity which is definitely professionally, which is a very personal method into people's lives. So essentially, these people are fully functioning members of society, but that are fully devoted to this group, and they see it as their job, essentially, to share the teachings of the group.
Okay. That's also quite similar to Zendik. I think the image that you're building here is almost a hierarchy with Mother and Father God, and then the ground team, and then the ambassadors, and within the Zendik farm, the hierarchy that they had was the family, which was the inner circle, with Aral as the matriarch at the top of the family, and then there were different coloured wristbands for sort of how in you were with the farm, and if you just arrived, you'd be given a coloured wristband to show that you were new, and you had less privileges, and eventually they did get rid of those wristbands, but it seems to be quite similar in that way as well. And the only reason I keep drawing these parallels is because in my mind, movements that have been established as cults that you can put side to side with things that are happening within this movement, whether they choose to affiliate themselves with the word cult or not, which I assume they wouldn't, the more parallels you can draw, the more difficult it would be for them for the members of Love Has Won to say that they aren't a cult when all things seem to be pointing in that direction.
Absolutely. Another comparison in that regard that I'd drawn is again to a group that would rally and have rallied against the label of cult in Scientology. I'd always imagined that the sort of ranking or leadership stage of the cult had been financially motivated. So if you had paid in more money to have more etherical surgeries, more time speaking to Mother, if you had donated more to Mother, if you had went out to Hub and spent money doing so, the more money you spend, the higher within the ranking of Love Has Won you're going to have, or the more influence you're going to have. That was the way I had interpreted as, or the comparison that I had drawn.
Right, okay. Just before we move on to my next point, I did just want to say to anybody listening who hasn't listened to my interview with Helen Zuman on her experience of Zendik Farm, she's got a wonderful memoir called Mating in Captivity. I would highly recommend people go and read it because her penmanship is just incredible and it's an awesome book, and I just want her to be given all the credit she deserves. But I'll move on from that because I fangirl a little bit when I talk about Helen. She's an incredible human. So the next point here on my list are some key phrases that I've written down. And I'm just going to throw some at you and you shed any wisdom or light that you might have on these terms, if that's okay. So, New Earth Project Fund.
So, the New Earth Project Fund was a charitable campaign that was, I believe, was achieved by the group that they said was for a host of 5D projects that included another radio station, and was ultimately resulted in their new website, which launched on the 21st of June, lovehasone.org. So, that was essentially the project to revamp their webpage.
Okay, and Galactic Timeline.
The Galactic Timeline is a bit of a confusing one. It seems to be, again, relevant to the aim of planetary ascension. So to achieve planetary ascension, Mother is moving us onto the right timeline of existence, if you will. So as we are now, we're on a timeline that will end with us not achieving planetary ascension. And she is transmitting us or moving us to another almost alternate dimension, parallel universe type deal where it will happen. So that's what that is. But again, it's not something that I've been able to make much sense of.
Okay. I think we've gone through some of the other things on the list, Ascension Mission, Gaia, Higher Self, Whole Healing Ascension Essentials. What about Cabal?
So the Cabal are essentially a collection of evil beings working against Mother, trying to prevent planetary ascension. Exactly. So myself. Essentially, the Cabal are a way for the cult to discredit the victim support networks. So an individual who acts against the cult, tries to prevent someone from joining, tries to warn them about the dangers of a cult, is a Cabal minion. Essentially, and they'll infiltrate members of society to try and act against planetary ascension. So I will be labelled as a member of the Cabal, most likely by the cult. But they also claim that the Cabal existed in some form or other in the fifth dimension, and Mother defeated them in the fifth dimension. In the same way that Jesus Christ sort of is believed to have went back down to hell and defeated Satan before his own resurrection in some sort of ways of in some sort of interpretations of Christianity. My apologies. That's the only sort of comparison that I could draw in terms when they speak about the Cabal in the fifth dimension. But it's ultimately just a way to discredit the support networks of people they're targeting.
Right. Okay. I know that some of the people you've been speaking to, we're going to maintain their anonymity during our discussion. You said that there weren't any notable reasons why people joined that you could mention, but were there any experiences that people had within the movement that you might be able to talk about?
There was one experience of an individual. I won't say their name, but essentially they joined Love Has Won. They were there for a very short time in mission, and essentially after a day of being there, they abandoned this individual, drugged him, left him in the mountains of Colorado naked, where he was left deliriously wandering around the very, I imagine, sparse communities that are in that area. And given America's almost backward ways to me as a British person, the health authorities there couldn't do anything without his consent, because he believed that he was there to transform and to heal himself. He had to stare into the sun. So he was found staring into the sun in numerous different places, half naked, before family members were able to reach out to people online and retrieve him. So that's the most recent and really only notable experience of that someone had when they were leaving.
Right.
But again, I think there have been a number of people that will have left Love Has Won over the years, but just are too afraid to speak out against them. They don't want to, or they don't want the shame of being publicly seen as fallen victim to a cult like this and the beliefs that they hold.
And do you think that financial exploitation is the biggest worry that people should have about this movement?
No, I think the mental effects that it has on individuals. I think that they're a very dangerous group, more dangerous than you would initially think watching their almost wacky content online. There is a degree of what I understand to be arranged relationships in twin flames, and it's been reported that children have been conceived as a result of these relationships. In their previous videos, before they moved to their main hub now, Mission, you can see children quite actively as part of their community around their houses and where they were residing at the time. But since they moved to Mission, there's been absolutely no sight of a child in any of their live streams. There have been a couple accounts online of people, of them putting up their child for adoption, but there's also been more accounts of pregnancies at the minute. One of their members is pregnant, I'm sure you can see from the live streams. But it begs more questions into serious child welfare concerns. Again, I'll go back to a previous biography that was on their old website for a member of the First Contact ground crew team who called Baby Drake. And they say that Baby Drake came from the Unified Realms, or the Dragon Realms, sorry, to assist Mother in planetary ascension and loves dancing in unity. So they claimed this baby to be a member of the First Contact ground crew team. And there have been numerous children in their videos over the years. They also recently launched an alternative education program called the Crystal School for Rainbow Children as well. So as of late, they've really been trying to almost up their activity in terms of directing the youngest members and most impressionable members of our society as well.
Right, okay. So,
but sorry, just in addition to the, and you mentioned the dangers as well, I think physical exploitation has been reported, and I think just the impact that they will have to your own psyche is the biggest danger that they have, is putting themselves in positions of control over people.
Right, so psychological abuse, physical abuse, and the potential of them matchmaking partners to each other.
That there definitely is a potential for that. It's definitely, they use twin flames as almost a way to attract lonely people as well.
What is twin flames?
As I understand it, a twin flame is, again, has some relevance on the fifth dimension. So a twin flame is like your partner in the fifth dimension, and you're meeting their, you know, their soul contract in the third dimension, you know, really romantic stuff. So they'll say, oh yeah, this person, you're actually together in the fifth dimension. It doesn't matter if you like them. Or if you like them here in the fifth dimension, you're in love, or you're the same person almost.
Right.
So in the lore of the group, mother, they say that mother and father in the fifth dimension are sort of one in the same person. They are a twin flame sort of thing.
Right, right. Okay. I just wanted to expand a little bit on the financial exploitation that you touched upon. There is a website called scamguard.com where people can, I don't know if you've ever been phoned by somebody, and you can Google the number to see whether it's a dangerous number or whether it's it has any warnings against it. So somebody has actually written on scamguard.com about Love Has Won.
And I think I'll know the post that you're
I'll just read it for our listeners. It says, my daughter is a victim of a spiritual scam. Amy Carlson Stroud says that she is Mother God. Miguel Lamboy is the mastermind computer expert. Everything has been done according to the cult experts. IRS, law enforcement, CPS in Colorado. Love Has Won cult is located in Colorado. Many innocent victims believe Amy is God and is ascending to the fifth dimension, New Earth. It's a long story. Her followers have lost everything, money and family. They are brainwashed. The group has been reported to the IRS because they claim to be a non-profit. They are not a legit non-profit. So much information that I have, I want to spread more awareness. I came across this site, Love Has Won, streams live daily at 6 a.m. Mountain Time on Facebook. My demands, awareness about this dangerous cult, user recommendation, stay away, and resolution says unresolved. It also says here at the bottom, also reported monetary damages, $10,000. So, oh, interestingly enough, somebody has commented underneath that 3 months ago saying the beliefs of this cult sound so similar to the beliefs of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Have you reached out to anyone involved in investigating their case? I really feel like there could be a connection. So somebody's had a family member who has been financially exploited within the movement. They have gone onto ScamGuard to let people know that this is a cult that is financially exploiting people and could potentially be dangerous. So what would be your recommendations moving forward? Do you think that law enforcement should be monitoring this cult?
I think absolutely. I think law enforcement should take concern. I think there would even potentially, I'm no expert on law enforcement or on legal matters in the United States, but I think there would be concerns at a federal level about people trafficking. They are convincing people to come and essentially exploit themselves for free for the profit of Mother and Father God. That to me would seem to be a people trafficking case out and out. I can't see how not. Although it's not the most immediately damaging element of their criminality, they are tax fraud. They are tax fraud, so they are exempt from both sales tax in the state of Colorado, as well as federal income tax due to the religious related non-profit classification, which in the IRS's own literature will state that to be classified as such, it cannot be to the individual gain of one or more stakeholders. And it's just clear that this group is to the gain of Amy Carlson. More so, just briefly on the individual on ScamGuard talked about Miguel Lamboy as being the IT mastermind.
Right.
So just to speak briefly about his background, he is, by his own account, has worked extensively in the UN Universal Music Group and the Girl Scouts of America, which is one of America's most prolific and most famous non-profit charities.
Right.
So And he's been there from day one right till today, and he's very much a figure in the background of Love Has Won now. He's
Right.
mostly responsible for translating stuff into to Spanish. But we spoke earlier about now that Mother God and Father God are in Hawaii, how they can be sure that people are kept in line almost. Miguel Lamboy is very much a powerful figure within the cult, and it would not surprise me if he is actually the one that is, if you will, pulling strings and making the financial games. He would definitely seem, if there his biography is to be believed, that he would have the one with the experience and know-how to get around potential issues in the non-profit sort of sector, if you would.
Right, okay. And what would be your primary advice for somebody thinking about leaving the movement or thinking about joining the movement?
My primary advice for someone thinking about joining would be to seek professional help, to seek medical help as soon as you can. There will be things that you think you will get from this cult. Mostly love is the main thing that they go for. They will think that you might think that you're missing something in your life that the cult can give you, and they can't. Or you might have it, but you will be indoctrinated in the process, and they will discredit those around you, and they will try and break down your relationships. And it's just something that you can't let happen. You need to talk to a medical professional if you can, and if not, someone that you trust as soon as possible. Is the best advice that I could give. Cut off all contact with the group. Don't look at their contents. And if you can, even report them to authorities if they've asked you to do anything that you think is outside the law. And to those who are thinking of leaving, I would say that there's no right time to turn your back on exploitation. You might think that you're too deep into the group now. You might think that there's no way back. You might think that the people that you turned your back on might never take you back, but I can assure you that they would be understanding that many people have fallen victim to cults, and sadly, many more people will fall victim to many more cults over many more years. But that doesn't mean that you have to stay in this one now. You can turn your back on it, you can speak out, and you can help other people, and you can get forgiveness. Well, not forgiveness, there's nothing to forgive. You were the victim of a cult, and that's the end of the day. That's the end of the matter. And my question is that most of the people that are acting publicly for Love Has Won are victims of this cult and should not really be treated as criminals or as negative elements of society, but just as people that need help.
Right, okay. I think that's wonderfully said. I think you've summed it up perfectly there. There's so many different levels of support for people that have fallen victim to movements such as this one. Do you have any examples of any online platforms people can access for support from other people that have left the movement or family members that have lost somebody to the movement?
The only group that are a public support structure for former members are on Facebook and are known as Love Has Won Exposed. I would encourage reaching out to them. If you would like to reach out to me even, or and I could potentially direct you, I'd be happy to give you my email address, Casey, to share out at the end of the podcast.
Yep, fantastic. That's great. I know there's also a subreddit called Love Has Won Cult. There's some support generated within that subreddit as well, if that is a platform you'd prefer to use over Facebook. So that there are resources available, there are platforms available, there are people all over the world that are here to support and willing to speak and listen and, you know, and give survivors or victims a place to have themselves heard. So I just wanted to give you this opportunity now to go over anything you think I've missed, or anything you wanted to add, or any points of this movement that we haven't covered that you think are integral to the workings of Love Has Won.
We've covered a lot, but there's so much to this. And again, I've only scratched the surface of a very big iceberg, or the tip of a very big iceberg, in their online content. Ultimately, I would say I think that there is a real danger, particularly for the children that are potentially within their sphere of influence. That's the one thing that we'd like to highlight. From even a basic understanding of cults, you know, and the history of a couple of them, it very rarely ends well, particularly when someone of influence dies. And if Amy Carlson is is of ill health, I really do struggle to think about what's going to happen if Jason Castillo takes full control of the group, or if there's another fracture like there was 10 years ago. Ultimately, I think that it needs to stop. The group needs to stop, and there needs to be help for those who have fallen victim to it. In terms of what we've covered, I'm sure in about an hour or so, I'm going to like slap myself on the head and say, "Oh, I should have mentioned that, or I should have mentioned this." But unfortunately, I think it's probably something we'll be talking about for a year, another couple of years, or something, and we'll probably be updating on the group and their activities regularly. But hopefully, this can be the start of spreading the awareness and stopping them from taking advantage of people.
Very well said. Very well said. I've gone over all of my points. So if there isn't anything that you want to add, Scott, I think I'm happy to leave it there if you are.
Yeah, I think so. That's good for me.
That's everything on our list, Scott. I'm so happy I got the opportunity to speak to you today. Thank you so much for generating this report and for putting so much independent time, effort, and energy into documenting this movement. As I mentioned before, it's the most extensive thing I've been able to find in terms of correlated information. So thank you so much for giving me your time, and I'm really excited for my listeners to get to listen to you talk about all the information you found out about.
No problem. Thank you for having me. And when the report is finally available publicly, I'll be sure to let you know so you can let your listeners know where to find it.
That's great, Scott. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
I will do. You as well, Casey.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Since recording this episode, it appears that the contact ground crew have actually attempted to join Mother God in Hawaii. They were greeted by groups of protesters who held signs upon entering Hawaii saying, "Cult not welcome here." A lot of this fallout comes from Mother God announcing that she is, in fact, a reincarnation of the goddess Pele. When the group attempted to arrive in Maui this week, they were greeted by the mayor, who said they were not welcome here and for their own safety they should leave. Natives of Hawaii take their heritage and culture extremely seriously. They believe that any cult trying to obtain residence in their country stains that culture. A lady who asked to go by the name Adeline reached out with this statement. "Amy wasn't always this way. When I first found them, it was people exploring their spiritual awakenings together. She hadn't claimed to be Mother God till about 6 months in of me following them. She has had four Father Gods since that time. I never went to join them officially because I couldn't accept that she was Mother God. As soon as she claimed that, I was turned off. But I'm messaging you more to tell you of my perspective on why she is this way." She had spoken about abuse and poverty, abuse by parents, living in a forest homeless. I don't remember all of the details, but who she has become is a reflection of her turmoil. From her childhood and her life, she wants to believe that she is here to bring love, but her underlying pain and rage comes through, and she justifies it by calling herself Mother God. She is furious with humanity. This is truly a psychosis, drug and alcohol-induced fantasy reinforced by those who want to be part of something extraordinary. I was definitely sucked in for a while, but I couldn't commit. I didn't believe who she was. There are people going through genuine spiritual awakenings around the world, and if she is one of the first things these people find, they could be so easily convinced that she speaks the truth. I was one of those. She was the second person I found after my spiritual awakening. There are these groups I've learned that can reel people in at this phase of their lives and convince them that the spiritual awakening was leading them to her. It's predatory. Most people go through these awakenings at the most vulnerable times in their lives, and they get sucked in when they are told they are important. Her physical state has drastically deteriorated since I started following her. She used to be bright and full of life, and she convinced herself and others that drinking and smoking was a way of grounding. I hope in your show covering them that it can be made clear that the entire spiritual community is not this way. This group represents the extremists of this movement. She really is playing out a world that she feels justifies the pain she went through. Everyone has to answer to her about the pain she went through. The current Father God is constantly pushing her shots of hard liquor, claiming it's her medicine. I know he has a history of arrests and abuse, and there are claims that a few of the members were drugged and raped, but they accepted it because he's Father God and he knows best. I don't wish to be named, and I don't care if you even mention this, but just giving you some insight on some of the journey that I went through. Sorry if this message is all over the place. I don't talk about this much. I can count on one hand the number of people who know I was involved with them. It started out beautiful, but I guess all cults do. An official member of Love Has One, who goes by the name El Moya, or Ryan, being his true name, contacted me via Reddit, saying that they would like to appear on the podcast. I explained I was uneasy as I wouldn't want any proselytizing on my show. He messaged me to say, quote, "Hi, I agree with your comment. We would enjoy talking and discussing anything that's been said. Setting the record straight is essential. We are here to share the truth, and we enjoy working with others who do the same." I responded, and I offered Ryan the chance to leave a written testimony on how he would like the record to be set. He responded saying, "Okay, thank you, we will feel into this." That was August 11th, and I have never heard back from them since. I reached out again on the 6th of September with a list of questions for the movement. I asked things like, "Can you explain this movement's core beliefs? Can you describe Mission and how many people live there? How do you respond to this movement being labelled a cult?" All of the messages I sent across were talking points from my conversation with Scott. A fair chance for Ryan to, quote, set the record straight. He didn't respond. At least I can say I offered them a chance to comment. Like I said, I anticipate a lot of fallout on my small platform for bringing light to this movement. If you have the chance, and you really enjoy my podcast, please leave me a positive 5-star review. To balance out the almost inevitable 1-star reviews that I will be receiving tenfold in the near future. Thank you to all of the survivors and family members who have helped me with this research and who have reached out offering to assist in this episode. I'm sure this won't be the last time we hear of this movement. As always, you can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/thecultvault, where 4 exclusive episodes await new patrons, with 2 episodes coming shortly. Likewise, find me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com and at cultvaultpod on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your speaker, Casey, and this has been The Cult Vault.